You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here tonight. Still a little bit upset Skrillex is opening for... Anyway, we'll get over that. Amigo Energy reminds you, summer's here. You don't have to sweat your energy bill. Save some money with Amigo Energy. The solution for that is Basics 24. You'll get a $50 bill credit exclusively for Soccer Matters listeners. If you're moving, call us first. If you're up for renewal, it's Amigo Energy. Look them up, switch, save money. They are a Public Utility Commission 5-star rated provider. And that's right, you'll get both great rates and great service from Amigo Energy. Don't delay. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. Tell them you heard it here, Soccer Matters. Basics 24 today, 888-995-9299. And it's always great getting visitors up here. We're excited. Dynamo President Chris Kennedy in studio, as well as Dynamo GM Matt Jordan. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
Good evening, Glenn. How are you tonight?
We're doing good.
Good evening, Glenn. Thank you for having us on.
All right, so we have made it clear to the fan base that we're going to plow through a ton of stuff here tonight. So I'm going to get us started off here. I want to just first talk about sort of the Owen Coyle era and his year and a half here. Because you guys had a great intention coming in. You let everybody know about how the team was going to play. It was going to be a winger-based team, lone striker, playmaker. After this year and a half, it does seem like we're in the same place we were before Owen got here. Agree or disagree?
Well, I would put it to you this way, Glenn. Sadly, things didn't work out with Owen. We went out and searched for our first new head coach in the history of the team after the Dominic Kinnear era ended at the end of 2014. And you know, our decision to bring Owen in was really based on wanting to bring the club to the next level and bring in an experienced coach with you know, worldwide experience at a high level and a dynamic personality and great leadership skills, great resume, all those kind of things. And sadly, it didn't work out. And, you know, I think we moved on at the right time and we recognized it wasn't working out and things weren't going the way that we wanted them to go and we needed them to go. And there certainly wasn't the progress that we expected to see or wanted to see in that year and a half. So we made the move. I think we made the right decision by bringing Wade Barrett in as the interim coach. And in the last two-plus months, 12 games under Wade, I think we've seen the progress that we've wanted to see with the team. And it's hard to put your finger on why it didn't work out with Owen Coyle. If you went down to training, sprint training, they were lively. The guys were behind them. There was energy. It wasn't a bad environment at all. You know, certainly there was maybe some lineup and tactical things that didn't work out. But at the end of the day, it didn't work, and we move on. And you know, as we're going to say probably lots of times tonight, is, you know, certainly we're not happy with where we're at. The status quo is not acceptable, and we're going to be taking action to improve the team.
Let me take you back to Wade, because you made it very clear pretty quickly that Wade was going to be the interim manager. So that kind of took you out of of maybe some of the sweepstakes for other managers like Jason Kreis, et cetera, right? So he's 1-2-7. He's certainly made the team structurally better, and this is my humble opinion, compact. Obviously some great defensive records right now, not conceding goals, obviously, but you're not scoring goals either. If I would say right now to you, would you hire Wade Barrett as the manager of the team?
I think Wade's done a great job. We've seen a lot of progress under him. We're not prepared to, you know, to say publicly right now which direction we're going to go with that. We've put our full weight of support behind Wade, and I think he's done a tremendous job. I think his record is actually 3-3-6 in the 12 games he's managed, when you include all competitions, which is Open Cup as well. And you know, there's really two things that we're working on here, Glenn. One is restoring the culture and the identity of the team and getting it back to the great culture and identity that existed.
Can I stop you there? The culture and the identity of the team in 6-7, is that what you want now?
What do you mean in 6-7?
Well,
the years
you won the cups. I think it's a differing league now.
I think we had a culture and identity that existed beyond 2006 and 2007. I mean, we keep in mind we're in the MLS Cup final in 2011 and 2012, and in 2013 we're just a half away from going to our third straight MLS Cup final. So there was a culture and identity of this program that existed for a long time that we want to restore. And Wade, I think, has taken great steps to that. that's been visible in the games that we played. You just pointed out many of the things that that categorize those things: structure, toughness, defensive-minded, things of that nature. I mean, we've got in the 12 games Wade has managed, we've given up, I think, 9 goals. It's a goals against average of something like 0.78 a game. So we're defensive right now. You're right. We need to figure out some offensive things. But restoring the culture is part of the deal right now, as well as restoring the roster. You know, there's some pieces to the roster that we need to add. Matt's working tirelessly on that. And these are things that that go along with the evaluation of Wade. And
Is it after the season when you'll determine what Wade's future is?
You know, we never really put a timeline on it, to be honest with you.
Because here's the confusing thing, and I want to bring you in, Matt. The confusing thing is if you're signing players now, like Yair Arboleda, and I know this is a man that you've tracked. Who's our other new guy? Eric Alexander. And Wade has got influence in the acquisition of these players, and then he's not here. It doesn't make sense. That's part one. And then part two to you, Matt, would be, are you trying to get players that will fit into a system that you guys have in your mind, or are you just trying to acquire good players and then build a system around them?
Well, I think what's important to keep into consideration is that we're taking decisions that are in the best interest of the club. You know, and that's a great
but
thing.
We
about,
know that. We know.
Well, and
we,
what,
that,
what I'd
that,
say
we
is
we
that
assume we
what's
know
been,
that.
What I've been most proud of, to be honest with you, is, you know, we went through a tough transition when we parted ways with Owen, but very quickly the bus kept moving forward. You know, and the house of cards didn't fall down. You know, we had an existing staff in place that's done a very good job, and so
yeah,
if you look at the acquisitions and what we've been looking at is that, you know, Wade, obviously, you know, we work in a collaborative environment. You know, Wade's been with this club for a long period of time. So regardless of the circumstances at this moment, you know, we're all going to be looking at what's best for the club. And Wade in particular, you know, he cares about this club.
He
cares greatly about this club. So we know that the decisions we're going to make, we're not going to get involved in any silly decisions. And
no,
I'd also
I get
say,
that, but I mean, as a manager, a new guy comes in, he wants to pick his own players. I mean, in some ways, Owen inherited players, right? In some cases, right? I mean, if you're getting a new manager, you want that guy to have the input, if in fact he's going to be the guy managing the team, into the type of player that he's recruiting and bringing into the club, right?
Well, I think what's important, Glenn, is that, you know, the players that we're bringing in right now, we feel the team can benefit in the short term, but there is a future with them in the long term as well. You know, and I think that's the delicate balance when you're looking to get results in the moment, but you're also looking to add pieces that will improve the team in the long term. And the second part of your question is that, you know, the league is changing. You just spoke about it. I mean, the league is a lot different now than it was 10 years ago. But at the same time, you know, our core principles of a club remain the same, you know, and our core values. And that right there, that commitment to those core values and our core principles, that has to be our guiding force, our guiding principles.
Remind us what the core values are, because my listeners need to know.
Absolutely.
I
mean, this club, our core value has always been based on being a team-first club. Obviously, having hardworking, committed individuals that are willing to fight for a common cause for the team. And if you look at the history of the Houston Dynamo, I used to compete against the Houston Dynamo, and you know that it was always a team. It was a team first approach, and everyone that's totally committed to the cause and what they're working towards. And so, when we look at players we're looking to bring in as well, as you look at players that fit within that mold, and that's very important. Now, I believe personally, if you look at, you know, Barcelona, you know, is a prime example, right? They always get the players to fit the system, you know, and that's their trademark. And I believe that you need to have a foundation of a base that you build off of, right? So, you know, if we say, listen, right now, you know, we're going to build this team based on a 4-2-3-1, you know, I think that's important. But having the flexibility that, look, in certain scenarios, you can flip the midfield and maybe go into a 4-1-4-1. You've seen us do that. So, you know, I don't think that you can ever completely marry yourself to a formation, but it is important, especially in the salary cap world, when you're making decisions, you know, that you find players that fit the system. I think it's very important. And especially when, you know, we're a different model than maybe a Seattle or an LA or NYCFC.
Chris Cadetti, Dynamo president, Matt Jordan, Dynamo GM in studio here tonight as we continue talking here. This is good stuff. All right, so let's talk about stars. And I get the hardworking thing, and I get the hard to play against and all that. To me, that's an assumed inherent quality of any good team in Major League Soccer, okay? You should all be hardworking. You're professional soccer players. I get that. Who's going to tip the scale here? Because your scale tippers and your highest earners, one is gone now. You've created a lot of great cap space, Giles Barnes, right? The other's DeMarcus Beasley, who's on a big salary. So your big money guys, in comparison to the rest of the league, honestly aren't producing. So is Kubo Torres, when he comes back, are you guys planning on giving him a real run to either prove out being the big investment that you made in him or not?
Yeah. You know, to answer your question, yes. Yes. You know,
so we're going to see him play a run of games before the season's over.
It's been a unique year for him.
He's been here enough to have
absolutely
played, right?
Is that when he comes back, he will be playing a bigger part in our team. We will see him on the field more and more. And we think that's important as well, because, you know, it's a player that, you know, if you ask maybe the common fan, you know, hey, how's Eric Torres done for the team? You know, you'll get a lot of mixed reviews potentially, but, you know, in all fairness, you know, he hasn't gotten really a string of games either for a variety of reasons.
Why didn't Owen want to play him? I don't understand why Owen Coyle didn't play him.
You know, listen, that's a question for Owen. You know, that's a question for Owen.
Look, we made an investment in this guy and he's Latino. We're trying to, you know, Owen, you know,
yeah,
he's a good soccer player.
Yeah,
is he going to play?
Yes. Look, Glenn, I think
I don't want to get into areas I shouldn't here.
No, I mean, Eric Torres joined the team last July. And I think it was well documented that when he arrived at this team, he was not prepared to play in Major League Soccer.
First season of wash.
Yeah.
Got it.
If he was sitting at this chair, we'd say the same thing. Okay. So last year was a washout. I believe it was Owen did the right thing in the interest of the team not playing him. To Kubo's credit, the kid worked hard this offseason. He came back fit. He came back focused. He looked good in preseason. In Owen's estimation, he did not win the lone striker job up top. Okay, again, that's Owen's choice. That was decision. You have to think about the difficulty of a general manager trying to say to the coach, you must play this guy, right?
Yeah.
So you have to give the coach a little bit of freedom there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he decided to start the season with Will Bruin, and Will was scoring goals, if you recall, off the start of the season. He had a goal against Dallas. He had two goals against New York.
He had 3 in 11 games.
Well, it started off early,
yeah.
Okay? But then don't forget, after the New York game, which was the third game of the season, Kubo left the team to go be with Mexico for a few games. And then he came back, and he was in and out of the lineup.
But he was here long enough, Chris, to get a run of games if, in fact, you know, and again, I know it. You guys are giving your leeway to your coach.
The coach chose not to play.
But you can understand why, to the community and the fan base, it's a very nebulous, confusing thing. Because they're going, why do you spend millions of dollars on a guy and he doesn't even play? Because my assumption was when you bought him, it was to create a team around this goal scorer. Is that fair?
There's legitimate circumstances as to why he didn't get a run of games. It's absolutely fair to say he hasn't gotten a run of games. You haven't seen him. But there's legitimate circumstances. I think we covered a few of them here. We're 24 games into this season between MLS and U.S. Open Cup games. 12 of them were under Owen. 12 of them have been under Wade. I think Kubo's been in 5-6 training sessions since Wade took over. He's only been on the bench 2 or 3 times perhaps. So, like I said, there are circumstances, and this is why Matt is saying that when he comes back from the Olympics, and I think there's going to be 10 games left when he comes back from the Olympics, this player is going to play. We've made a big investment of him. Now the slate is clean. You know, we're all on the same page here, and he's going to play.
Last one on Kubo, and we probably have to hit a break here. Guys, you're doing a great job here. We appreciate all this information. All right, if he has a bang-em-up Olympics, right, if he scores a bunch of goals in the Olympics or impresses and other clubs become very interested in him and his value goes back up, what are you going to do with him?
Well, you know, things change quick in the soccer world, you know, and you never want to limit yourself. You know, it says a lot that he showed the quality to make the Olympic team. You know, I mean, there's, you know, he's had a very good preparation. You know, there's a good possibility that he'll be starting up top with Peralta. You know, and if not, you know, he'll play a part in the Olympics. And the feedback we've gotten from the Federation has been very good. And look, I'd say you always have to be open to everything in the world of soccer because things change very quick, and it's a world market. It's not just an MLS market, and that's something we'll need to evaluate.
How would you want it to work out? Would you want him to go to the Olympics, score a bunch of goals, and come back here and take us to glory in Houston and bring some fans into this building? Or would you want to make some money
off the game? Look, there's two scenarios which would be fantastic for us. We can't lose. One is he comes back and he lights it up. And he's the player that we invested in and we thought he would be. And he excites the crowd and he helps us win soccer games. We can't go wrong with that. Or two, his value goes up on the international market. And there's people calling for him and wanting him. So in either one of those scenarios, we'll be happy. In either one of those scenarios, we will see what the situation looks like at the time and make decisions.
Which would you like?
Look, you always want to get your decisions right. So if he comes back and he scored 22 goals in a year and a half in MLS, that's what we wanted. That's what we thought we were getting. We hear the cheers when he takes the field. We know there's an interest in him. It's hard for fans to get behind a player that's not playing. So him on the field, him scoring goals is a great scenario for us.
Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 in studio. Matt Jordan, general manager of the Houston Dynamo. Dynamo president Chris Kennedy. Great engaging conversation here. We're going to keep it rolling for the rest of this hour tonight. So don't forget, we stream at ESPN975.com. And you know what? I got a quick little read here before we go to break. For Bud Light. As the host of Soccer Matters, I'm speaking out on behalf of my favorite political party, the Bud Light Party. People say the country's divided. We disagree on everything. It's not true. We agree on a lot, like puppy videos. Everybody likes puppy videos, three-day weekends, free parking, queso, Messi, and Ronaldo. You know what else everybody loves? Beer. Nothing brings America together like Bud Light. Raise one right now. Join the Bud Light Party and myself every Tuesday for the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. And you got to play the cult going to break because you just want to rub it in that we're not going to see him Friday night. All right. Take a break.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're the kind of person you meet at certain dismal, dull affairs. Sitting half around talking much too loud, running up and down the stairs. When it seems to me that you have been too much.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We know they're not opening for Guns N' Roses, right? Streaming at ESPN975.com. Get over to the Facebook page, Soccer Matters, over there. We've got a lot of fun stuff over there. We've got Dynamo President Chris Kennedy. We really appreciate these guys being in studio here. Long days. I'm sure your wives are probably not happy about this, but you weren't on my show tonight. You were on a different show in Houston. Matt Jordan, general manager in studio as well. Okay, so, hey, did you play that Alex goal call? Because I want Matt to hear this. Because we all thought this was a spectacular goal. No, that's okay.
Shooting opportunity, maybe. No, it's Alex. It's still Alex. Time the Dynamo go up 1-0. They break the goal scoring drought.
Beat the first defender is fantastic, but as soon as he gets in there and he opens his hips to shoot, I'm saying to myself, lay it off to Boniac Garcia. He's got a better angle, but what a finish from Alex Lima.
All right, so that was a spectacular goal. It was interesting. One of the callers called tonight and had talked about something that I had started the show off with. The Alex goal talking about, and that is people who are willing to take people on off the dribble, unbalance other teams, provide an entertainment value, draw penalties, draw set pieces. It doesn't seem like this team has had enough of those players in the last 3 years. Is that on your mind? acquiring players like that that can tip the scale and be the difference. And maybe it's a Diego Valeri guy. You know, somebody that can make plays and change it. Because at times I think to the fan and to me, and again, this is just my opinion, it seems like the responsibility is passed via the pass, if you know what I mean.
Well, that is on our mind, without a doubt. You know, I mean, obviously looking at the goal there Alex scored, you know, I mean, Alex is having a very good season. And he's, you know, he's been a real bright spot this season. And I think, you know, the thing what we like so much about Alex is, I mean, he's one of those guys who's got a little bit of an edge to his game. You know, he can play a variety of positions.
No, he's been a great signing, but you know, are you looking for more of those players?
And
you're going to spend money on somebody like that.
Yeah. And
because you got the Giles money now.
Well, that's exactly, you know, and to Chris's point from earlier is, you know, that's why we make a decision a difficult decision like we had to make with Giles, is that, you know, it takes time to plan in this league in a salary cap world. And yes, you know, that money, and it's a significant amount of money. We look and we say to ourselves, you know, that's money that could be spent on one, if not two, difference makers. And that is an area that we want to continue to improve on, is to add difference makers. You know, we do feel we have a lot of, you know, good, steady Eddie, solid pieces, the Alexes, the Boniacs, the Clarks, these guys. They're all good players, you know, but we do feel that we want to continue to add difference makers, you know, and Colin Warner, you know, Colin Warner's done very well. I mean, I think he's been a key, and we think he's been a key, you know, during when he went into the lineup amidst the transitioning coaches, you know, but it is something that's on our mind, and that's why we took this hard decision.
Striker position. It's produced one goal in 17 games. Mm-hmm. It's produced four total this year. Got to have people scoring goals. I get the work ethic thing, and they bring other intangibles. The bottom line is, when I look at a striker, I say, I want the box checked. He's a goal scorer. How do you address it?
Well, I think we talked about it, you know, before the break is after the Olympics. You know, that's where we want to see and get more opportunity on the field for a guy like Eric. You know, Minotas can score goals. Minotas is a goal scorer. And he's shown that at 21 years of age, you know, and so, you know, these are young, talented attacking guys that are going to get more opportunities. And we feel that they are going to produce for us. And that's another factor into the difficult decision we just made.
Did you miss the window to get Morrow on the field during his real period of confidence there? I mean, he'd been coming off the bench for you producing. He was scoring goals at RVG. He was tearing it up for you guys in the Open Cup. He was playing with a passion that, I mean, went right to my heart. I mean, the kid was like in tears when you guys got knocked out of the Open Cup. I mean, I saw a fire and a passion in that kid. But I felt, again, these are just my opinions, so I want you to understand that. I'm just a guy with an opinion. I just felt there was a time to reward that kid with starts because he was checking every box that you guys as an organization wanted. You might have been able to ride a young guy. And it's not to say that you can't now, but that little window and that opportunity there where he was just flying high with confidence, it kind of came and went. Now, is he another one that's going to get a lot of playing time here? Because I'm sure you guys want to accelerate his development. Now, the question is he going to get playing time here at the end of the rest of this year?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, player, he is a player that will be on the field more. You know, again, he's a young, talented, a very, very talented goal scorer. You know, he's a goal scorer. I mean, you know, you see, you know, it was nice to see when we played KC, you know, him turn Beisler inside out, you know, four or five times in that game. And that's a guy that was just starting for the national team and coming off of the Copa, you know. So, yes, you know, that is another thing that we feel it's going to be important to get a player like Morrow on the field more because we feel there's a lot of talent there.
Dynamo GM Matt Jordan in here, Dynamo President Chris Kinney. Chris, is it fair, and I know you get tired of me saying this, but is it fair to say this is a rebuild now? And look, I know you don't want to say to your fan base, you know, we're not trying to get into the playoffs, but at this point, do you begin to weigh the future more over the present?
Look, people can call it whatever they want, or we could call it whatever we want, a rebuild, a retool, a reshape. I mean, I'm not sure the word really matters. I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's we need to restore culture. We know what we stand for, what we want to be. We need to rebuild that culture within the club. And we know we need to reshape the roster as well. So we're in the process of doing both. And we're like I said, we're not satisfied with our results. The status quo is not acceptable. And changes are being made. And again, that started back in May when I feel like we really hit a low point with changing the coach. I think Wade has done a fantastic job taking the team forward. He, in the 12 games that he's managed, we've been in every single game. 3-3-6, 1-2-6 in MLS plays. The two losses and the six draws in MLS could have very easily have been wins. He's instituted a toughness. He's instituted a defense. And it goes back to what you and Matt just chatted about for the last few minutes. We need difference makers, okay? Whether they're on the roster or whether we go get them, we are a smidge away from getting results, whether it's taking a loss to a draw or taking a draw to the win. The last few games have all been examples of that, whether it's San Jose, Vancouver, Orlando, you name it. We need those difference makers. And again, this ties into the Giles trade as well. So I hope people, you know, in this conversation and through the things we're talking about can see the picture coming together. Matt referenced it. We've got a solid base with the Warners and the Wangers and the Boniacs and the Clarks and even bringing in Alexander now. You know, in the future with Minotas and things like that, there's things here about this team that have put us in a situation where, like I said, we're not that far off, but we acknowledge that things need to take place. We're definitely making moves with the future in mind. I think you see that with a guy like Yair out of Colombia, but we still feel like we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our fan base to not give up on this season. 10 points out. 13 games left to play, 3 wins in a row in this league, and suddenly you're back into it. We've seen it too many times. And we don't want to say that either to our locker room, right? These guys are putting everything in every single day, and they want to win. So,
But to your fan base, they've heard you say this the last 2 years. This is a couple of years now. They're a little fatigued. Look, I'm not saying that what you're saying isn't true, but they have heard it repeatedly, so you can understand why they might be a little fatigued, right?
They've heard what?
They've heard that we're a smidge away, we're a couple players away, we could go on a run, because it is playoffless soccer for the last 2 years, and it's a big mountain to climb this year, I think, if we're really being honest.
Well, I think I just articulated where I think we're at and what I think we need to do, and we're not saying that we're the finished product by any stretch of the imagination. We're very active in making moves. Again, there'll probably be more things that we're able to say in the next couple of days. It's not just about the moves that we're making here in this window. It's about things that we're planning to do in the next window. And I think one of the things that people maybe don't understand about the Giles trade, and Matt just referenced it, is if we didn't make this move by the end of the day tomorrow, he would have been on our roster potentially go in January.
But I think people are applauding you guys for the move. Look, once they got through the heartbreak of, listen, Giles is a great guy. Everybody likes Giles. He was marketed heavily by you guys.
Yeah.
He's provided some scintillating moments, mostly at home, because if you look at that video clip today, all his goals are scored at home. And Matt Peterson, I think, said he's only had 3 or 4 road goals. Look, you guys elected to move him on because he's not getting the job done. This is a results-based business. You're either getting it done or not. He's one of your highest-paid players. So I think people, once they really understand it, are going to applaud you.
But you're asking me about planning, and I'm trying to paint a picture that with this move, I'll make it as simple as I can. With this move, Matt now knows at this moment that he has a lot of money to work with. Okay, if we didn't make the move, then it would be uncertainty, right? He might not know in October, November, December. And by the time January comes around when you can make the move, it might be too late. So we've opened up new horizons for ourselves to go out and get that difference maker or difference makers that we're all talking about, that we all accept and acknowledge needs to be the difference of the team. I think people can point to the Colorado Rapids as a good example of that was a team last year that went 18 games without a win. In a row. They had a young American coach learning on the job. They defended very well. They couldn't score. They went out and made 2-3 moves in the offseason. They got Gotchi, they got Jones, and they got the guy
Tim Howard.
From Seattle.
Papa.
Marco Papa. Look at him now. Three losses, second at the top of the
table.
So
I would say to you, why did they all of a sudden change their culture and decide to go out and spend real money on the Jermaine Joneses and the Tim Howards and these guys? I mean, because they had been, I think Colorado had been a pretty good example of mediocrity.
Listen, I don't know why they changed their culture. I don't know why they changed their culture, but what they did is not something that we can't do. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity.
Let me say one thing on that real quick is that I know this league like the back of my hand, and as do you. But if you look at the first, Colorado is a good example. Look at the first 10 games of the season this year for them, right? They weren't scoring a lot of goals, right? But what they were doing is they were not giving up goals. They were grinding out games. They were being hard to play against, and they got a couple late goals, late in games at home. Mm-hmm. But what they got from that foundation of what they were kind of building was confidence. And I truly believe if the team, the way we've played, if you look at when there was a transition in coaching, five of our first seven games were away. All right. We played away at, let's go in order, right? Went away at Vancouver on turf, went away in Dallas, went away to Orlando, went away to Portland, went away to LA, right? Five of the hardest environments to play in Major League Soccer, getting some pretty solid road results, right? I truly believe if we were playing, with that same commitment at the beginning of the season with, I felt like our lines could have been a little bit tighter. It was almost like we felt it was getting a little bit like Russian roulette soccer, just kind of very open. And there were some games where we didn't close it out, very late in the game. Is I think if we were grinding out some of those games earlier in the season and maybe because in Major League Soccer, it's not always when the results you get when you're playing your best soccer. It's actually the results you get when you're not playing your best soccer. And I think Colorado's a prime example this year. They weren't playing their best soccer early on, but they were just chipping away at points, whereas we were dropping points. And I think that hurt us in particular. And that's what we want to fix.
All right, so with this cash now, what's the timeline? When do you want to get a defining player, a striker, playmaker, a game changer? When do you want this player by? I mean, is it December prior to the next season? I mean, I think that's what you got to be shooting for,
yeah.
Right?
Because yeah, I mean,
you don't want to bring the guy in the summer.
No, I mean, obviously our window closes tomorrow.
I mean, you got work to do. Yeah. You got cash, but you better get out there and get shopping.
Well, listen, I mean, our window closes at 11:59 tomorrow night. I just came from the office, and when I leave the studio, I'm going back to the office, and there's a lot going on. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to make any knee-jerk reactionary decisions, and that's what this decision with Giles provides us the ability to plan, as Chris pointed out.
Now, Chris, you had mentioned restoring, some of the things that the team had in the past, but don't you guys feel with the way Major League Soccer is accelerating and changing by the moment, and I know you guys know this better than me, that you also have to create a new identity as well?
Yes.
Because what works in 6 and 7 doesn't work necessarily in MLS now. And by the way, you had a difference maker back there in Dwayne De Rosario.
Yeah.
You had a difference maker. You had a man that could pick a ball up and change a game. But I'm thinking now you need more than one.
Yeah.
You need 2 to 4 on a team that can break people down and provide some unpredictability.
The landscape of the league has changed a lot, Glenn, in the last 10 years, and it's changing very quick. I think what Chris was pointing out is that, again, what we stand for, but also continuing to evolve towards the future, and again, because any good club, you have your core values and your good core principles that guide you, but also having, being firm and being direct with your decisions, as we just were with a major decision, to have the confidence to change, and I think that's where we're at right now.
Do we need a break, Tyler? Okay, we do need a break. Matt Jordan in here, general manager of the Houston Dynamo, Dynamo president Chris Kennedy, enlightening conversation here tonight. And guess what? It's going to continue on. We're going to talk about Dynamo relevancy in the city. We're going to talk about the Dynamo Chivas here and a whole bunch of other things. It's all Dynamo related, and this hour is brought to you by HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets for the Dynamo. Next up is Toronto FC. They're going to be taking on Chivas of Mexico.
Stadium's going to be packed for that one. That's one you're not going to want to miss. By the way, was it Khalil High, right? Was named the Player of the League in the NWSL. Pair of goals for the Houston Dash recently, so good to see her scoring some goals. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're certainly thankful tonight in studio, Dynamo President Chris Canetti and also Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. And guys, let me just remind you that we do very much appreciate this. I do know I'm cutting you off a little bit. That I'll take responsibility for, but I am trying to kind of be the voice of the fan a little bit here as well. So we do thank you for being so upfront tonight and being so transparent. So thank you for that. All right, let's get back to one that Chris, I know you and I have talked about this a million and one times. This will be a redundant question, but the fans here want a star. When they see David Villa going to New York, what is the Dynamo policy in the future? Because your owner, Gabriel Brenner, has spoken out on this as well. Can they ever think that they're ever going to get a big-name star player here?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we have to find the right star that fits our club, that fits our market, and that's going to make sense for us. And again, we made a major investment in Kubo Torres last year, $8.5 million. It's out there. It's public. That's a guy that, you know, we intended to be a star for us in this market. But we do have new ownership who's in place. They want to be successful. They want to build a brand. They want to establish a club that is beloved in this community and that has a passionate following behind it. So, you know, there's an understanding here that it's there's a lot of different things that go into that. There's wins and losses. There's star power. That's part of the whole equation.
Matt, you want to expand on that?
I think the key point that Chris brought up is just finding the right star player, and I think that's, you know, that's how the league is evolving and changing. Is that, you know, we're a lot of these players now. I mean, you know, let me draw an example. You know, did the common fan know who Diego Valeri was before he came, or Ignacio Piatti, or Mauro Diaz? You know what I'm saying? Is I think those are three great examples of, you know, the you know, most American
stars now in
fans
those cities
didn't know those players, but those players came in and proved to really make a difference, and now they're stars in Major League Soccer and in North American soccer communities.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be a David Villa or a Gio Dos Santos. Diego Valeri is a huge face in Portland now. Piatti, you were involved with that deal with Montreal.
Yep.
Maybe a Burrito Martinez in Salt Lake.
Yep.
So there's a couple of good examples. I don't know what you would call them, but they're guys that then identified themselves through their play in Major League Soccer in their specific markets. Back to you, Chris, on the Latin fan base. And I know Kubo was a big part of the potential project of engaging more than we saw 190,000 people go through Energy Stadium. What more can we do to get that olive branch out to the Latino community?
That's an important part of our community, of course, with the sizable representation here in Houston. And we recognize that and we acknowledge that. And about a year and a half ago, we were very forthcoming in saying that we wanted to build a team that better represented our community. And I think at one point this year, we had 9 players, if I'm not mistaken, Matt, who are Hispanic or spoke Spanish, and we understand how important it is to our Hispanic folks in this community to put a team on the field that they can be proud of, that they can relate to, that they can that represent them in a big way. So we've got, you know, players from Brazil and Argentina and Colombia and Honduras, Mexico, and that's part of our strategy going forward. We realize that, but we think that's the most important way. That's the best way to reach people. Of course, there's marketing tactics and things on TV and radio and grassroots in the community, and all those things are very, very important. But the product at the end of the day is on the field and in the stadium, and the environment that we create there. And, you know, so we think that signing Hispanic players is an important priority. We, of course, have a Mexican owner, you know, the only one in the league. And we also know there's an opportunity there. I mean, it's a passionate fan base of soccer fans out there that can become Dynamo fans.
Let's talk about Gabriel Brenner. Wonderful man. I knew his brother, who was a part owner with Giorgio Berlanghi of the Houston Hotshots indoor team. Talk a little bit about him and what his wants and desires are. And, you know, I know he's a very private man, and sometimes the fans want the owner to be more upfront and out there. Talk a little bit about Gabriel, because that's another one that comes up from our fan base a lot.
Well, first of all, he's probably the biggest Dynamo fan out there. He loves this team. He's been passionate about this team since 2008. His whole family feels that way about the club. He desperately wants to win. You know, takes some of the losses very difficult. But, you know, he's a committed owner. He's involved. He's engaged. There's not a day that doesn't go by where we're not talking, or he and Matt, or he and Wade are not speaking. He's definitely deeply involved. And, you know, he's now 7-8 months into his ownership as the majority owner of the team. And I think he's learning a lot on the job as the majority owner. And I think he's assessing things and he's figuring things out, and he's establishing along the way some opinions in terms of how he wants to build this thing going forward. AEG obviously had the primary ownership up until the end of last year, and Gabriel was to the side just as sort of an investor. But now he's day in, day out, hands on, and very, very involved. And I think that's an important thing that we didn't have in the past. We do have now, along with some other partners, including local ownership, and they're feeling their way out, and it's going to be a good thing for the club going forward.
Dynamo President Chris Canetti in studio, as well as GM Matt Jordan. Matt, I saw the signing of Yair Arboleda. Before we get to him, I mean, you have to be disappointed, though, in some of the player performances this year, right? I mean, let's be honest here.
You know, I think it's fair to say that you know, there's a guys that even they've said to them, said out publicly, that, you know, they feel that they are not performing to their fullest potential. And, you know, and look, we all take responsibility. You know, we all take responsibility. This is, you know, a collective effort. And, you know, no one takes the losses harder than I do. Trust me.
Oh, I know. I watch you pacing around at the games.
It's funny. I played this game professionally for 15 years, and my wife tells me all the time. She goes, Matt, you take these losses now harder than you ever did as a player. And I truly do, because it's that important to me. And I really, really am excited, you know, that I know we're not satisfied with where we are, but we have a plan of where we're going. We're committed to that plan, and again, we got to be bold, and status quo is not acceptable, as Chris has said a couple of times, and that's really how we feel right now.
Yeah, because I felt like, you know, I directed a lot of the conversation on managers and hires of managers, but in the end, look, as a former professional soccer player myself, the player performance accountability falls upon you. Do the guys feel on notice now a little bit because of the Giles trade? And the guys feel as though there is an urgency to perform now with a lot of unknown right now. Nobody knows if Wade Barrett's going to be named the full-time manager. There could be a new manager. Are there guys, because I've been in this situation before where, you know, you kind of walk in the locker room, you see two guys gone and you see an empty locker. I know you've seen this. And then you kind of go, hey, so where am I? You know, how am I looked upon in this situation right now?
Well, I've been one of the guys that's been traded also, by the way, of course, you know, anytime there's a player transaction of significance, it puts you on edge. You know, you played the game a long time, just like I did. And that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. And I mean, that's not why we did this transaction
I understand that.
You know, there's a lot of layers to this decision, but I would say that, you know, you in this game, you can never get too comfortable. You can never get too comfortable. The minute you get comfortable, somebody's there to take your job, and so, you know, I think that's important to be successful in anything you do, but especially in professional sports.
What do you think? You want to take a few phone calls here?
Go for it.
Let's take a phone call. Tyler, who do we have up there on the board?
First call is Tyler. Actually,
you got a question. All right, let's go to Tyler. No.
He's on. Yeah, Tyler.
Tyler, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Tyler, you're with Glenn Davis, Chris Canetti, the Dynamo president, and Matt Jordan, the general manager. What's your question?
First, I just want to thank you for having me on your show today. And my question is for pretty much Matt, because I want to get him on this. You had your hand in, like, getting big-name players into Montreal, and you were a part of that. But, I'm a season ticket holder, and I live in San Diego. I've been to 3 games this year when I get the chance to come back. But I still follow them and, die hard. Who is that player that you're going after that's going to bring this spark back to Houston and give them an identity again? Because the identity we had, 10 years ago isn't going to be the same identity we're going to have moving forward.
Well, I think what's important, and thank you very much for your call. Really appreciate you taking the time to call in, is that it's important to get the right player at the right age that fits our market. I think that's our key factor, and that's something that I definitely learned in all my years working in Montreal, is that it's important to get a key player, a key difference maker that fits your market, and also fits the parameters you're looking for. I mean, I can tell you every day, when I wake up in the morning, there's about 30 emails from agents of different players of all around the world. They're 31, 32, 33, up to 35 years old. Top players. But, I have to give you my honest opinion. To bring a 35-year-old player that whose best years are behind them here just for the sake of bringing a big name, I don't think that's the model that we want to look for. I hope that gives you a little bit of insight in what we're looking for.
Henry, let's get your question in real quick, then we got to go tonight here. What's your question, Henry?
So it's for Matt and Chris. Okay. Well, as you've probably seen recently, attendances have been pretty low. So can you speak to that and how you're going to raise them? Because in my opinion, with the demographic in Houston, we should be filling the stadium every single game with all the Hispanics and Africans that love soccer.
Okay, we got your question. We want to give Chris and Matt time to answer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Henry, look, this is Chris, and certainly the fans have spoken a little bit here, and they've shown their disappointment in the team and the lack of wins over the last few years, and we understand that. I think the most important thing we need to do as a club right now is to get back to our winning ways. This is Houston, and we need to win, and we need to put a product on the field that our fans are proud about that's going to help fill the stands. I mean, of course, we have to do all the creative marketing and sales and all those things that go into to building the business. But what we want to have is a team that everyone can be proud about. There's an excitement, there's a buzz, there's an energy, there's a relevance around the town and around the Houston Dynamo, which we've seen in the past. We saw the Astros go through a tough time. They've battled back. They lost some crowds, and now their crowds are strong again. It's the exact same thing that we need to do.
Matt, anything to add?
No, I think that the results, fans grab onto that. And that's as a technical staff, we feel that as well, and that's very important to us. I mean, at the end of the day, it's professional sports, and it's about results, and we accept that responsibility and we take that as a challenge. And
where does entertainment fit into it?
Look, I do believe that it's important that the fan comes and is entertained. I mean, it's like, look, when a fan go, like if I go to a concert, and I'm not happy with the way
or the opening act, like, yeah, Skrillex,
with the way the performance went that day, I go home a little disgruntled and I go back a little upset, And so I can accept that, And so the balance between entertainment and results, it's a determining factor.
That's going to do it tonight. For Dynamo President Chris Kinetti, gentlemen, we really appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you becoming transparent tonight. Matt Jordan, the general manager as well. I think the fans are going to very much appreciate you guys coming in here tonight. And next time I won't cut you guys off so much.
Thanks for having us in, Glenn.
Appreciate you having. Dynamo President Chris Kinetti, he's Dynamo general manager Matt Jordan. They're on the road in Montreal. And then it's back with Toronto FC, Josie Altidore and company, HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets. Thanks for listening.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.